You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello, this is Matthew Raphael Johnson at Radio Albion, and this is the Daily Nationalist, being recorded on the 26th of June, 2024. I've been following the Julian Assange case for a long time, since the indictment was handed down in Virginia in 2019, and I think I first covered it here in 2020. I'm covering it now, because, as most of you know by now, that he has been freed pursuant to a plea deal, which you can't blame him for taking, given how this man has been tortured for several years. And the case, such as it is based on something called the Espionage Act, which was passed right after the U.S. decided to get involved in World War I. And it built on the Defense Secrets Act of 1911. So this whole thing was anti-German from the very beginning. Of course, there's a lot of problems with it. The act outlawed, according to its very language, false statements intended to interfere with military operations, incite insubordination, obstruct the recruitment of troops, etc., including, in addition, promoting the success of America's enemies. Of course, this was done every single day by the regime, although not the government, during the Vietnam War, so it's arbitrarily enforced. And in 1918, the Espionage Act was amended by the Sedition Act, and that tried to eliminate any criticism of the state during times of war. Now, the Pentagon Papers issue, of course, he was regime-supported, Daniel Ellsberg. All charges were dropped. They were actually dismissed in 1973. Believe it or not, there was an AIPAC case in 2006 where Lawrence Franklin, who worked for the Pentagon, passed certain classified documents concerning the U.S. posture towards Iran to Israel. And he initially was sentenced to 13 years. That was eventually all dropped, but he passed the information to Israel via the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, Stephen Rosen and Keith Weissman. Edward Snowden, who have also covered on this show, starting in 2019, the Assange case, which was based on 17 counts of the violation of the Espionage Act. The problem there, of course, is... You know, people like Ellsberg, because the enemy was leftist, were not going to be prosecuted, and he was praised by all comers. The AIPAC thing, of course, you knew that was going to be dismissed, but this is a different story, because it concerns American foreign policy, where it's supporting globalism. And that's what makes the Snowden and the Assange case different from the others I mentioned. Back in 2020, the first time I dealt with this at any length, it was very clear what was going on. He exposed the regime's dirtiest secrets, and he was going to be eliminated as a message to all others. The regime even tried to promote the idea that he committed sex crimes, that he, you know, had STD tests and everything else, that his girlfriend at the time was a victim of sexual assault, and just whatever they could throw at him. And you notice that none of this ever happened in the previous cases during the Cold War, or as concerns Israel. The other things that separated him, despite this, was just a matter not even of gaining the information. He simply received it and published it. other newspapers, major ones, published the same thing once they got it from him, and they were never prosecuted. So again, there's something special about this guy. But his treatment was different from everybody else. He couldn't really see his lawyer when he was in the UK. There was no doubt, as I said at the time, July of 2020, that he was being tortured. And at the time, I noted that because in court, he was described as wearing a beige sweater and a pink shirt. And I said that if that's not a sign of psychological torture, then nothing is, to wear something like that. Such an outfit is proof of personal self-destruction. And I also noted, because this is 2020, that they refused to give him a face mask. Not that that would have made any difference, but it was just a symbol of what they wanted to do to him. And back then, a guy named Juan Passarelli, in the initial hearing, said that he couldn't really follow the proceedings. They weren't speaking loud enough. The microphones either weren't on or weren't working properly. But that wasn't the only reason he couldn't follow anything. He had been tormented to the point where he really couldn't function. And his appearance, not just his outfit, the judge then Vanessa Barasser, said that she was going to hold anyone in contempt that took a picture of him. But there had been several pictures of him taken prior to that warning, and so he clearly looked like he was in an absolute mess. So they tormented the guy. Yeah, the picture from May of 2020 has him in a glass box that was physically removed from his defense counsel and was incapable, not just physically, but also mentally, of following what was going on. The problem was, of course, while he was in the UK, that if any extradition to the US, despite him not being an American citizen, the UN, in fact, said, the UN representative for torture victims, Nils Melzer, back then, said that Assange would be exposed to a real risk of serious violations of his human rights, including his freedom of expression, right to a fair trial, and the prohibition of torture and other cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment or punishment, had he been extradited. But that was happening anyway. He met him around that time. Meltzer came to the conclusion that he was definitely tortured, at least psychologically, in an extreme way, if not physically. The UN, there was a report issued by the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, and it included a witness that said, in addition to physical ailments, Mr. Assange shows all symptoms typical for prolonged exposure to psychological torture, including extreme stress, chronic anxiety, and intense psychological trauma. There was also a paper, or a report, letter, from 120 practitioners, medical practitioners, mostly doctors, around the world, written to the British government a couple of years ago to condemn what they consider to be, and what was, the torture of this man. He wasn't getting health care. The climate of fear was deliberate, including the fact that he wasn't going to get access to health care when he needed it. And there was no doctor-patient confidentiality. So this was an attempt to break the man. Now, of course, Ellsberg, during the Vietnam War, the Pentagon Papers, didn't have any of this and did, solely from the state's point of view, far worse than this man. And it has to do with the agenda, who the enemy was and why. It seemed, over the last few years, the system was dragging this out as long as it possibly could. So he had a few charges a couple years ago, and actually it was in 2020, they updated the charges, and it was that he had recruited and agreed with hackers to commit computer intrusions to benefit WikiLeaks. And in fact, back then, that was a year after the initial indictment, a new indictment was drawn up, and it said, this is Section 93, during 2010-2011, Assange disseminated and published via the WikiLeaks website the documents classified up to the secret level that he had obtained from Manning, as described above, including approximately 75,000 Afghan war-related significant activity reports, 400,000 Iraq war-related significant activity replies, 800 Guantanamo Bay detainee assessment briefs, and 250,000 U.S. Department of State cables. Now, this was a very different kind of a war than the war against Vietnam. The enemy was leftist and was fashionable. This was a war against religious nationalists, and therefore the regime's attitude towards it and those opposing it are going to be very different. I said at the time that all of what he released, some of it I've read, some of it you've read, that everything I had been saying about the war and that I eventually published in my book, The Foreign Policy of Mass Society, turned out to be true, and these cables and documents and reports proved it. The Taliban was much better armed than had been previously reported. The press invented all of this with government assurances to try to convince people that the war would be over quickly, and anyone who knows anything realized that wasn't going to be the case. That the U.S. military was far less competent than the propaganda media claimed, then and now, and that equipment that cost a fortune, billions of dollars a month to operate this equipment, we've also seen this in Ukraine, simply wasn't reliable. It wasn't working properly. The other thing he was said to do in the new indictment, this is Section 94, significant activity reports from the Afghanistan and Iraq wars that Assange disseminated and published included names of local Afghans and Iraqis who provided information to U.S. and coalition forces. The State Department cables that WikiLeaks disseminated and published included names of persons throughout the world who provided information to the U.S. government in circumstances in which they could reasonably expect that their identities would be kept confidential. Now, a lot of what this section laid out is that these were journalists and members of NGOs, not really locals, political dissidents living abroad, that he was exposing them, and that therefore he had disregarded their safety. In other words, all he really did was exposing local traitors who were used by the U.S. to condemn governments with which they were at war. And in fact, it's these sources. These aren't just local people. These are NGO people, many of them Westerners anyway. These were the so-called sources the U.S. would use to justify the war. The sources used to convince Americans that U.S. forces would be welcomed and that the governments that the U.S. was fighting were not only evil, but also on the verge of collapse. In other words, these were all lies. And this is what Assange exposed. These were the quote-unquote anonymous sources that all these fraud journalists and mainstream media would use to avoid actually having to answer for their information. So the governments involved would have treated these people the same way the U.S. was treating Assange. They would actually be criminals. And the other one I noted at the time was his exposure of the so-called killing of Osama bin Laden in Pakistan. And he exposed the lie there. This, you know, SEAL team collected a number of items of digital media, including, I'm quoting now, a letter from bin Laden to another member of a terrorist organization, Al-Qaeda, in which bin Laden requested that the member gather the Department of Defense material posted to WikiLeaks, a letter from the same member of Al-Qaeda to bin Laden with information from the Afghan war documents provided by Manning to WikiLeaks and released by them, and Department of State information provided by Manning to WikiLeaks and released by them. Now, as I've said many times, this whole thing was ridiculous. He's not going to be keeping hard copies of this correspondence in an exposed area. He would know that he was in danger of being raided. And keeping this very convenient evidence lying around is absurd, and it's an invention of the media and the intelligence world. The raid on Osama and his killing by the SEAL team was a lie. I said, I wrote back in March of 2018, that the story of Osama's killing is absurd. The SEAL team landed via helicopter at the compound, smashed in without resistance, and shot everyone in sight, including an unarmed bin Laden. That was at least one of the many versions Washington provided at the time. And any intelligent person could immediately detect the absurdities. He wouldn't be in plain sight like this. He wouldn't be living in a major city, down the street from the Pakistani Military Academy. The world's most wanted man would at least be in a desolate area, not an important city. There was a witness, Mohammed Bashir, who said there was a single helicopter landed at the compound, quickly taking off again, only to explode. No one shot at it, and the destruction of the helicopter has no official cause. BBC also interviewed residents near that compound, saying that Osama wasn't there. They knew the person there, and it wasn't him. Of course, he had long died. Paul Craig Roberts exposed, and all of this came from WikiLeaks, as we know now, and or was confirmed by WikiLeaks, that all of their helmets were equipped with cameras. That's the SEAL team. The initial video showing the killing was quickly quashed, and no replacement was offered. The CIA chief at the time, Leon Panetta, stated that there was a 25-minute gap in the video for some reason, and of course that gap is exactly where that murder would have occurred. That's just a coincidence. So all of these documents that the CIA took from this compound were forgeries, and they were very bad ones. And this is why Assange was in trouble. This is why he had been tortured for all this time, only almost 5 years now. All the papers that were allegedly taken were, other than the documents from Osama, the revelation of a local gunrunner working for the U.S., plans to destabilize Iran and China, you know, about using the Western Islamic groups to revolt against Peking, etc. And so the point is, the 2020 indictment said that he, in publishing these cables, would place the lives of countless innocent individuals, from journalists to human rights activists, to bloggers, to soldiers, to individuals, providing information to further peace and security at risk, and of course, which is a ridiculous lie. The charges against Assange, as I said, and still, now that this case, I think in theory, is over, Assange is not an American citizen. The charges imply that he is a U.S. citizen in the pay of a foreign government. He's charged with spying on the U.S., in other words. But no one ever gets arrested for it unless they're a citizen of the country in the pay of a foreign government. But there was no evidence for that at all. He simply published leaked documents, as did the New York Times in the Pentagon Papers case. And he, Ellsberg, did have top secret clearance. Assange wasn't even the person who leaked it. He merely published it. Ellsberg was given the prize for profound humanism and moral courage back then. And of course, everything has changed now, given the nature of the enemy. Rafael Correa, the former president of Ecuador, who had was able to remove Assange from the U.S. reach for a while anyway, made the very obvious claim that what Washington was doing was absurd, illegal, and unconstitutional in every way. It's simply to scare others and shutting down journalism at its best. Had he exposed the secrets of Russia or China or whatever, or Carrera's own government, he would have been praised by the press, honored by the Congress and the British Parliament. But given that the enemy has changed, now we're talking about wars against nationalism, it's a completely different story. American media is a ministry of propaganda. You can't be a journalist now without the nature of what he's done. There is no journalism at all. It's the death of the First Amendment in the clearest way for its very justification and existence. There was no case against Assange at all. It's just very much like the Trump case. It doesn't exist. Washington was unable or unwilling to provide the British assurances that Assange would not be abused and denied his rights, we've already mentioned. He's been abused enough, as it were. He was in solitary confinement for 62 months, which is a violation of every, from habeas corpus on down. British justice didn't want to be involved as Washington's jailer anymore, a man who hasn't been convicted of anything. Of course, he's pleaded guilty to one count, a violation of the Espionage Act, and has been sentenced to time served. 13 years were stolen from his life. And Washington must have figured that this has been enough of a warning to anybody as to their interfering with the American agenda and spreading liberalism and globalism and the Great Reset abroad. Ultimately, he pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to obtain and disclose national defense information, getting time served. So as far as I can see, this is the end of what is a very shameful episode, and this is something that's been practiced on American citizens quite a while. Wrongful conviction, guilty pleas, 1,000 Americans have been coerced into pleading guilty, given the January 6th issue, as insurrectionists, despite that the left has been doing that kind of thing far more violently for decades. The man who actually won the elections of 2020, Donald Trump, who has been convicted of blatantly false charges. And if a president can be abused in this way, then we have no chance whatsoever. Coming to his defense now has the fear attached to it of being treated very much like either, you know, Snowden, Assange, or the January 6th people. Washington and puppets of Washington and NATO. If they're insane enough, as Paul Craig Roberts said, to deploy NATO soldiers in Ukraine and they continue to target missiles on Russian civilians like Israel does to the Palestinians, you're talking about the rise of a war leader who can terminate American existence. And this is not focus points on discussions whatsoever. People wanting to expose this now will have to pause. And yet, as a few others have written, nothing seems final here. This plea deal was reached with the Department of Justice, and people like Mike Pence, several others, think that this is too lenient of a sentence. I think it was yesterday, Assange arrived in Saipan, which is part of the northern Mariana Islands in the western Pacific, to face a new indictment. Now, his conditions for this plea was that he wouldn't present himself in any court in the U.S. proper, for very good reason. We all know that he would disappear if he did that. And Judge Ramona Anglona said that this proximity to this court to Australia is part of the reason for his insistence on it. But why the Mariana Islands? And a few people have mentioned this, why this place? And since he's arrived there, and I got this from Al Jazeera, Saipan has the same jurisdiction as U.S. District Courts. The Mariana Islands Court is not an Article 3, not a constitutional court. Let me quote directly. The court system defined by Article 3, the Constitution, Mariana is not a part of it. Article 3 courts, tribunals, are the U.S. Supreme Court and the lower courts established by Congress, which currently are the 13 U.S. Courts of Appeals and the 91 district courts. That would include D.C., Puerto Rico, but it excludes Northern Mariana Islands, Guam, and the Virgin Islands, and the U.S. Court of International Trade. Hence, they are outside of the constitutional judiciary. Now, this is a technicality. Technically, then, it wouldn't really... It's a part of the U.S., but not a part of the U.S. judiciary system. Now, whether the system is going to accept a technicality is another matter. It's a lawless system. But that was one of his conditions in arriving there at all. So, in his pleading to the court, initially this was a $10,000 fine, 10 years in prison, 62 months in Belmarsh prison overseas. He's admitting that he unlawfully conspired with Chelsea Manning, as I mentioned, based at Base Hammer in Iraq, to obtain documents, including secret ones relating to national defense, and then communicating these with those who were not entitled to receive them. Now, you can't blame the man, of course. Any one of us would have taken this deal. And people close to him personally are extremely happy. It was the 24th that he left Belmarsh prison in London, and then arrived in Saipan either today or yesterday. From an emotional point of view, it's fully understandable. But there's another problem here. The proper Assange trial would have seen the exposure of any kind of CIA murders and fantasies. Now, this may not have been the case. This is why they killed Slobodan Milosevic in Europe. But this may have been a way to avoid any kind of a public trial. But nonetheless, the problem is that for anyone who's involved in this kind of journalism, it has to still be troubling. It justifies and legalizes this, what you would call this extraterritorial power against any publisher. Doesn't matter where it's from, what his role in it was, what country of which he's a citizen. Yes, of course, everything has been reduced dramatically, 62 months versus, you know, what would have been 175 years if he was convicted on everything. It justifies and legalizes. Now, there's precedent for the U.S. seeking out anybody from anywhere publishing national security information that was damaging to the globalist agenda. It's exactly what this is. The story that the regime put out was stupid and crude, and it seems to justify it to some extent here. Kronberg, I think Gordon Kronberg, was a lead prosecuting attorney, and it even includes people like, you know, the late Dianne Feinstein, the ridiculous unelected Joe Biden, and everything else. But Assange wasn't even a media person. What he did was give the game away. But it does rationalize their accusations against him. Now, the way that the media is responding is somehow this is a victory for press freedom, when it's precisely the opposite. Anybody who ends up being a whistleblower on this kind of information is automatically in trouble. Now, the Espionage Act has been given a global reach as a weapon against anyone, even outside of the U.S., who opposes or exposes its agenda. So the deal was, to repeat here, on June 24th, he agrees. He will plead to one felony related, as I mentioned, will be released from prison in the U.K., will not spend any time directly in U.S. custody. Credit for time served is what it comes down to in the District Court of the Northern Mariana Islands. There's about 50,000 people who live there, just north of Guam, which is a possession of a sort of the U.S. So it establishes a precedent. He's arrived there, and he's responded to questions from the U.S. district judge there. He seems to be able to follow everything. But I brought up the Article 3 descriptions, initially from the Constitution, but of course has to be updated now that the U.S. is an empire. Whether because of that, it is in fact an American precedent, and certainly will be presented as one. But the most extraordinary thing was that he was treated as if he was an American citizen. They initially said treason, but they changed it to espionage, even though none of that existed. WikiLeaks gave their material to anyone who then would publish it, but they weren't charged at all, as I already mentioned. Initially, if you remember, I guess this is back in 08, he was initially supported by the mainstream media. Even the Economist of London, the Rothschild family outlet, gave him something called the New Media Award. This was an endorsement of his commitment to the freedom of the press. It wasn't until later that these very same publications, The Guardian, The New York Times, Economist, George Soros, Council on Foreign Relations, and all the rest, essentially the information bureau of the regime, turned on him, accused by the very same regime media that at one time praised his achievements, seemingly showing this to be a fairly planned operation. New York Times was complicit in this. David E. Sanger, who was the Washington correspondent, and he was involved in redacting WikiLeaks in consultation with the State Department as New York Times published these things. And that was first uttered in PBS, the redacting and selection of WikiLeaks document by the corporate media. And that was December of 2010. Sanger, of course, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Aspen Group. He is a full regime member, and has links with U.S. intelligence just for this, if for nothing else. The prosecution of this man is simply state retaliation. Scott Ritter, as you know, I've quoted him many times on here, and he stated, by allowing the U.S. government to compel Julian Assange to plead guilty to a crime he did not commit, America has condemned itself to be the land where telling the truth is a crime. The way he puts it, you know, he kind of idealizes the freedom of the press idea. There was supposed to be the abolition of any possibility for the state to censor the press, but World War I altered that. Actually, Abraham Lincoln altered that. We could go to the Alien and Sedition Acts, right after the Revolutionary War, under the Adams presidency. Wartime is a difficult time for this kind of thing. But he says that only a free and unrestrained press can effectively expose deception in government. And the duty of these people would be to prevent any part of the government from deceiving the population, sending them off to distant lands to die of foreign fevers and foreign armies. Now, that's a romantic point of view. It seems to work, but only in theory. Any entity that's that powerful, that can override state censorship, is also powerful enough to have its own agenda. Now, as far as I know, he hasn't yet made this plea, but he is scheduled very, very soon. Ultimately, of course, Song is guilty of zero crime. The U.S. government is, however. The U.S.'s war on nationalism, religious and otherwise, to expose this war is a crime, not to expose the crimes in Vietnam or against Marxism at all, especially when it comes to Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, this is an egregious matter, but this is just one case among many. 5 years of imprisonment under the worst possible conditions in a British maximum security prison, 23 hours a day, no different than if he was in a supermax in the U.S. They broke him. They broke the will and the spirit of a man who had dared expose the evils of American foreign policy. Now, whether or not he was a nonviolent criminal. I understand solitary confinement for certain specific classes of criminals, but he was the very opposite of a violent criminal. So this plea, while we fully understand it, any one of us would have made the same plea, whether it's in the Mariana Islands or not, it's still considered a precedent. And even if that technicality of it not being a constitutionally defined court, that's merely that. It's a technicality. It's not going to be taken seriously in the future. A basic freedom has been overturned, and now it's in law. Well, Julian may be free, as he should be. This brutalization has now been rationalized, justified, and entered into law, and therefore exposing the crimes of the regime is now a crime. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.